Here's Thomas Ehrnberg's Swedish Hot Five again with Ellington's Rent Party Blues, a tune from the early Cotton Club era during the late 20s and early 30s. Now, here's an interesting innovation brought into jazz by Ellington, something we take for granted now, but was first put on record by his band, a jazz bass solo. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm, the best in hot music and classic jazz, old and new. About this time, that is between 1927 and 33, Ellington became a national star, partly through the Cotton Club. At the Cotton Club, the acts were often not straightforward jazz. They were sometimes written for the floor shows, the strippers, the novelty acts, the dancers, the tappers, the singers, the other talent at the Cotton Club besides Duke Ellington. In the words of Cab Calloway, the Cotton Club shows were, quote, a combination of vaudeville, burlesque, and great music and dancing. By May 1930, the Ellington Band was being heard five or six nights a week from the Cotton Club over WABC in New York City. Shortly thereafter, expanded to the NBC, the very powerful and prestigious national network at the time. And they had both the Red Network, which was popular and light entertainment, and the Blue Network, which was for more refined fare. And Ellington was appearing on both, which was unheard of, every Saturday night from 11:15 to midnight, New York time, while still being heard on numerous other New York City stations regularly. Also, he was recording prolifically and probably understood the early recording technology better than practically any other band leader, composer, and probably understood it almost as well as the engineers of the time, because his records stand out very clearly and have a quite distinct personality, and he was very adept at helping his soloists to get the most out of the new microphone technology and this tremendously creative process that was going on in the band. This creative process led to many firsts. The first use of a human voice as a wordless instrument in jazz. The first to devote an entire work to a specific soloist. In the 1930s, Duke extended recorded jazz to works longer than the standard one-sided 78 RPM 10-inch record. Creole Rhapsody was the first at 6 minutes. Reminiscing in Tempo, spread over four sides, was 12 minutes. And the first to use extensive section-wide use of rubber plunger mutes in the brass sections. The tunes are going to be a little bit less familiar from here on. The first in this next set is a straightforward jazz tune, composed by Ellington, It's Glory. And then we go on to an early example of Duke's impressionistic painting using the orchestral sounds sort of as his own palette. Really, it's been said that the orchestra, his band, was Duke's true element. So we'll hear Misty Morning, and then we'll have the Black Eagle Jazz Band play Misty Morning for us, because this is one of the few tunes that works in the trad jazz setting, and one of the few bands that blends their sounds carefully enough to succeed with the Ellington music. So two versions of Misty Morning conclude this set. We start with It's Glory, recorded in 1929. Black Eagle Jazz Band of Boston from a stomp-off album a few years back. The tune was Duke Ellington's Misty Mornin', and we segued from Duke's 1929 recording of Misty Mornin', a rather misty, hazy kind of tune. Before that, Saratoga Swing, co-composed by Barney Bigard. We started with It's Glory, some straightforward jazz from the early orchestras pre-1930 of Duke Ellington. Dave Redlar with you for Jazz Rhythm, the best in classic jazz, old and new. This is part one, a focus on the music of Duke Ellington, born April 29th, 1899, lived until 1974. And Ellington really balanced two careers, that of band leader and that of composer. In his own words, quote, "They must not be confused, though they almost always are." Ellington himself was a natural aristocrat in bearing, manners, taste, dress, and self-confidence. He grew up in a black middle-class society where he was born and reared in Washington, D.C., in this respectable black community. Ellington, coming from this background, brought a new dignity and maturity to jazz music that hadn't been there before. Above all, Ellington had a way of captivating women, reaching a blonde secretary on the telephone. He'd open with, "Hello, is this the beautiful department?" Or he'd walk over to a woman and unabashedly offer one of his oft-used lines, "Whose pretty little girl are you?" Or, "Gee, you make that dress look so pretty." Ellington seemed to have not only a large appetite for food, but also for feminine beauty and sexual relations, taking, in fact, an aesthetic delight in women. He regarded women, quote, "as flowers," unquote, his sister said in a Smithsonian interview, each one lovely in her own way, and they absolutely adored him. It was just shocking, shocking, how the women, I couldn't believe it, the way women kind of fell on their faces in front of him. Next in the set, recordings from 1929 and 1932, the first a good example of his very simple songs with elegant variations and beautiful endings. The Duke Steps Out. Then another composition, Ducky Wucky, recorded on Brunswick in 1932. This was his famous orchestra. Co-composed by Bigard, this Ducky Wucky was a danceable two-beat with a 32-bar chorus from trombonist Lawrence Brown, plus Johnny Hodges not sounding too shabby. And we'll close the set with Ellington's Cotton Club Orchestra, Sweet Jazz a Mine. We start with The Duke Steps Out from 1929. Original 78s, transferred to tape by yours truly. Thank you. This is Sweet Jazz of Mine, another rare 78 RPM I transferred and restored. And thanks to collector extraordinary Dick Wahlberg of San Francisco for making those available, along with Ducky Wucky from 1932 and Duke Steps Out from 1929. I hope you can join me to continue this Ellington centenary celebration on the next two programs. My guests will be Jill Eikenberry and Michael Tucker as we listen to Duke playing solo piano in recordings ranging from 1928 to 1972, play some music from his theatrical production, Jump for Joy, a remarkable effort, hear more of Duke Ellington in stereo from 1932, and explore his collaborators in the band who were so integral to establishing and maintaining the originality and superb quality of music which were the hallmarks of Edward Kennedy Ellington, the one, the only Duke of Ellington. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me for this jazz rhythm celebration of the music of Duke Ellington. Thank you.